How's it going, Eric?
Going pretty good. I've been up for a while now, so feeling nice and awake.
Nice, man. How was your Easter weekend?
3 p.m. my side. Yeah. Great, yeah. Super nice. I'm actually in South Africa at the moment. Do you guys have Monday off today?
Yes.
It's like today holiday in America. It is, right?
Yeah, we have Monday off. Well, I guess it depends on what kind of job you have, but yeah, we have I had Friday off and today off.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm in Canada and I had Friday and Monday off as well.
Nice. Yeah, I guess that's the thing. Like the one good thing about crypto is that people always say it's like the markets never close, but then also the markets never close.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always doing stuff.
Yeah, cool, nice. Well, great to be on here for the first time.
Yeah, Daniel, we're glad you know, we got to talk the other day, and so I'm glad that you were up for being on the space. Looking forward to seeing what we talk about.
Yeah, so
all right, so let me start off by letting Marty introduce himself, and then I'll go, and then we'll get to you, Daniel.
Great.
Hey guys, if y'all don't know me, my name is Martin. I am a core contributor here at Cosmos Spaces. I'm also the community manager for Laconic Network and also do volunteering for Noble and try to attend as many conferences as I can. It's what I love to do. So thank you, Eric.
Thank you, Marty, for joining us. So I'm Eric, co-founder of Cosmos Spaces, along with Gaines and Tricky. Happy to have Marty here on the team. I am also a community manager for Babylon. And yeah, Marty, I agree with you. Going to conferences is probably like the funnest thing to do. I've gotten a chance to go to the past two Cosmoverses, went to ETH Denver, and man, just great experiences. So getting to physically be around these people that you share a passion with is great fun.
Totally agree. I can't wait to keep going to more. I wanted to go to NYT or NFT NYC, sorry, this week, but it's my son's birthday. I know, I think Gaines is going from our team, but sounds and looks like it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure. I saw that you unmuted yourself, Daniel. I don't know if you wanted to add anything. All right, if that's not the case, then just a little bit about Cosmos Spaces. Cosmos.
Hello.
Oh, yeah, Daniel, can you hear us? I'm not sure if Daniel can hear us.
I heard some honks in the background. He might not have a single signal.
Yeah.
Is that me with bad signal?
I believe so.
I can't really hear you guys.
Can you hear us? You can't hear us because of volume, or you can't, like, is it just like distorted for you?
I have a feeling his signal's cutting in and out.
Okay. So while we wait for him.
Are you talking to me? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you now. Can you hear us? Maybe you can't.
Hang on 1 sec. Let me join from my laptop.
Okay.
Are you reconnecting now? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm reconnecting.
Oh, okay.
But maybe it's better now. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, now we can hear you pretty good now.
Okay, great. I think it's working. I couldn't hear you for a little bit.
Okay, so let's get going. So a little bit about Cosmos Spaces. We started off with just...
I'm actually unable to hear Cosmos Spaces, so let me try this.
Oh. So I think he can only hear you, Marty.
About Cosmos Spaces, we started off with just...
I'm actually unable to hear Cosmos Spaces, so let me try
That's
this.
Awesome.
but I think we can only hear you, Marty.
But Cosmos Spaces, we started off with just actually able to
technical difficulties, huh? Hopefully, fix that, Daniel. I think maybe if you disconnect and rejoin the X spaces, it might fix it.
So while we wait for Daniel to hop in, let's talk a little bit about Cosmos Spaces. So Cosmos Spaces, like I was saying, started off with just being a group of guys who wanted to talk more about Cosmos. We started making these actual spaces on what was then Twitter, and just were really excited whenever we got like people like Sunny, Zaki to join our spaces. Like we were just talking and they just jumped on. And so we're like, man, this is amazing. Like what kind of, you know, ecosystem will actually allow you to be able to talk to founders and devs. And so it was just really exciting. And we had a lot of community support. So from there, we were like, what's the next step? We started making validators. So now we currently run validators on like 20 networks. We provide relayers, RPC endpoints. And so it's just been kind of a crazy journey the past 2 years where Cosmos Spaces has opened up the door for a lot of us to actually get jobs in Web3. So that's the little intro there to Cosmos Spaces.
Hell yeah, bro. I hope keeps going as it has been too. The team is slowly growing and expanding to more chains and just becoming a better relayer. It's exciting that after 2 years, you know, we just keep accomplishing more and more. And yeah. I'm so happy to be able to work with you guys. It's so cool to be a part of a team where we all actually work in the industry with different Web3 jobs, but also volunteer together to provide even more to the ecosystem. So I love
it. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I also want to shout out Pixel Squids, you know, birthed by Gaines and Shroot from Cosmos Spaces. It's been a lot of fun. Like it had been a while since I had gotten into an NFT project like we have been with the Pixel Squids, and it's been a lot of fun. And just because it's not just about NFTs, it's about you know, community, about alpha. We get the like the latest stuff going down there, so I feel like it helps you be connected even more. So really cool things happening with Pixel Squids.
You back? You guys,
I think I'm back.
He's back. I'm back. Welcome back, Daniel.
Thank you. Sorry about that. This Twitter space is still, it doesn't seem to be worked out properly.
No, I totally get it. All right, so Daniel, now that you're back and you've gotten that figured out, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. It's 3 p.m. in South Africa. Had a good morning, had a surf. I'm staying on the beach, so my exercise and break is revolved around surfing, which is always great. And now I'm back on it. Back on it for the rest of the day.
I don't think I'd be a very good surfer. And that sounds amazing, though.
Surfing is so hard.
You have to start young. That's the trick. If you start when you're anything past the age of like probably 25, it's an uphill battle.
How young did you start?
I started at 21, and it's just still an uphill battle for me. I wish I started at like 14.
I tried to learn in Costa Rica with my brother a couple years ago, and oh man, it was fun, but it's frustrating because you want to just be able to get up and ride a wave, but when you just keep eating, you know what, every couple minutes when you try and stand up, it can get pretty discouraging after a couple hours.
Yeah, completely. You have to start enjoying that. It's like somewhat compared to like a bear market in crypto, you know. You have to find meaning in the bear market. Otherwise, you're just eating shit the whole time and hating it.
I feel like a little bit of a failure because like where my parents are from, El Salvador, it's one of the top countries from what I know for surfing, and never gone all the times I've been out there. So, man, that's pretty cool that you do that. I bet it's like such an adrenaline rush to do it. And then just like that piece, like I bet it just keeps you mentally like really like connected. And I bet it's really good for you, not only physically, but mentally.
Yeah, completely, completely. And I mean, something funny, I was saying, I'm here with my co-founder at the moment too. He's also here. And like, even while I'm surfing, I'm still thinking about crypto and the business, but it's just like in a different environment. You know, you're like paddling out in the cold water, getting annihilated by waves. And in between the annihilation, I'm like, I should do that. I should do this, you know? It feels like it's a good way of hashing out your thoughts. It's like, I guess it's similar to if you go for a run or something, you know, if you go for a run, you still end up thinking about your work and like making sense of things, just in a different environment.
Yeah. And like, you're definitely right. Like for me, I do cycling a lot, and I even have meetings sometimes with the team while I'm cycling, and it just puts you in a different place mentally where things don't seem as bad whenever you're doing that. You know, you get to see nature out there. And so it's very cool. I definitely suggest that everyone, you know, touch grass, as they say, very frequently, because we definitely need it, especially most of us doing remote jobs and whatnot.
Yeah, completely agree with that.
Well, Daniel, I know that you said it was 3 p.m. over there. I haven't had breakfast yet. What do you usually have for breakfast? What's a good breakfast there in South Africa?
I mean, I generally intermittent fast, so I don't generally eat breakfast. However, recently I have been. I had some boiled eggs and some sauerkraut and some chopped up tomatoes. So that was sort of the breakfast. Trying to keep it clean.
That's super healthy. I'm impressed.
So Daniel, like over a year ago, I found out I was diabetic, type 2 diabetes, and I was very overweight. And so I had to change the way I ate. And like the way you just mentioned that you're eating, it sounds like it's like a low carb diet. That's exactly how I'm supposed to be eating. And I do intermittent fasting too, because that's like the best way to control your blood sugars. Like I've lost like 45 pounds. I've been able to control it all with just exercise and diet. So that's awesome. That I like to see that people know how to, you know, eat properly, because it's not always common. People think sometimes eating the other foods or just having a big breakfast, doesn't matter what you eat in the breakfast, is important, but it's all about, you know, like what you put into your body is so important.
Completely. It's like it's fuel, you know. It's like literally that gets digested and gives you energy. So I mean, it's like putting in dirty fuel into your car to some degree. I think if you're like, specifically if you're a founder, it's like you just got to keep your you got to be healthy, and you got to keep disciplined and like keep a bunch of things in check, otherwise everything can spiral out of control pretty quickly.
I wanted to ask you Daniel a question that you asked us whenever we had our chat, and it was like, how do you feel about the space the past, you know, few months? Like, what are you seeing out there?
The crypto space in general.
Yeah, just crypto in general. Just like our ecosystem here in the cosmos. You know, like how do you feel about it? What do you feel like's been going on recently? What is the sentiment of the people?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I mean, I feel like there's not a lot of new users coming into the Cosmos ecosystem at the moment. That's my general sentiment. It's like, if you're in Cosmos, you're still pretty bullish, but like, how many new users are coming into Cosmos? I haven't actually looked at the numbers, but I don't know where to find those types of numbers. If you guys have any tips on that, that would be a good insight. But I think we're seeing Cosmos, like, We need new users coming into crypto in general, firstly, but secondly, like, let that filter into Cosmos somehow. I don't know if you guys saw sort of all the stuff this morning about people saying Ethereum is, or the L2s are like almost as the sequences are almost as like decentralized as Cosmos is. I don't know if you guys saw anything about that, like blowing up on Twitter this morning, but that was kind of interesting. But yeah, I mean, I think in crypto in general, obviously there's a lot of stuff happening on the L2s. But I guess, is that the space we should be focusing on as an industry? Like, although it's not potentially as decentralized as Cosmos L1s, Is it decentralized enough? Like, or I guess, like, I don't know. I feel like crypto needs to realign and think, what are, like, what are the values that crypto aims to solve? What are the key problems that crypto aims to solve? And like, with the L2s on Ethereum, like, obviously there are some of those issues which are being solved, but not all of them. And is it enough, or do we need like self-sovereign L1s to actually propel the industry forward into a meaningful space? So I don't know. That's just a thought of the day. I guess.
And those are important questions to ask, because if you don't constantly question, you know, like, what are we doing here? What's the purpose of all this? Then you lose sight of whatever that initial idea was. So it's definitely good to always ask yourself that. And then maybe the answer changes. And so then you start pivoting and focusing on, you know, what you think it should be. But it is good to think of, like, is this what it's all about? Is this truly decentralized? Is this keeping up with the vision? Because sometimes I feel like, even with like protocols and like when you look at validators, it's supposed to be decentralized, but then you keep seeing the same group always doing stuff. And so you're like, is it really decentralized? Like, seems like it's just, you know, it's like it's always the same people. So it's tough, because then I understand for protocols picking like renowned validators, it's safe. You know, like, we know that they're good. I think it's hard to figure out what that middle ground is where you can really decentralize or you can make someone trustworthy.
Yeah, completely. Completely. I mean, I wonder, is it just like the same people in crypto getting wealthy these days, or are new people also getting wealthy? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that's one thing. I don't know. I'm also thinking a lot about sort of the intersection of AI and crypto, I guess, like just a general trend. I know, I don't know if you might have seen before the Gartner hype cycle, which is pretty much like how new technologies get super hyped up initially and then reach the top. And then everyone's like, wait a second, but how do we actually use this stuff? And then it, like, the hype drops off into like this big, like, what's called the trough of disillusionment. And then slowly over time, obviously, it builds up. And I think with AI, we're like, we obviously hit the peak, I would say, sometime last year when everyone was just like AI. And now, like, everybody said the word AI so much that it's almost been like diluted. And I think there's like quite a lot of skepticism within it. People are just like, well, are you just using sort of a GPT extension or GPT plugin kind of thing? Like, what are you actually doing? So I think right now we're somewhere in that like trough of disillusionment. However, I think AI is going to be a very powerful technology. Even if it's not there right now, I think in the next few years it will be. So I'm just thinking a lot about like what those implications are. I also read the blog post recently. It's Vitalik posted on crypto and AI, which was pretty interesting, and pretty much he broke it down into like four segments. And I actually just pulled it up now, so I can share the link with you later if you like. But quite an interesting one. The second segment is like super relevant to what we're building with 42, which Vitalik says AI as an interface to the game, which is high potential but with risks. And I think that's something that we're thinking about. Like, essentially, AI is helping users to understand the crypto world around them and to ensure that their behavior, signed messages, and transaction matches their intentions, and they do not get tricked or scammed. So I think that's like, I'd say, the most relevant to what we're building with 42.
So let's talk a little bit about 42. What is it exactly that you are building and that you hope to have fleshed out with 42?
Yeah. So what we're really building is a way for users to interact with cross-chain DeFi in a very simple way. So obviously, DeFi is not only complex, but then that complexity almost gets like multiplied when you're looking at it across multiple chains. So we're trying to find a way for user or build a way for users to interact with the most promising strategies, like asset management type strategies, across any chain in the most seamless way. So what that looks like is a user comes onto our platform, and pretty much we, in the long run at least, we would determine the user's specific individual risk and return profiles and then recommend them or present them with the strategies that match their individual risk return profiles. So if for example, it's a mother who wants a stable income, maybe it will just be like 5% deposited here. We don't do anything funny with your assets. If it's a young person who wants some super high yield and is a degen, then we'll offer them like some leverage vaults across any chain. And that would be, yeah. And make it as simple as possible for both of those users to find what they're looking for.
So what, I want to know a little bit more about like just your backstory. Like how did you get to the point where you're creating something like this? Like tell us a little bit about just your experience with the space, what got you into crypto, and how did you come up with this, you know, this idea?
Yeah, sure. So pretty much I grew up in South Africa. I studied finance and then I worked in investment banking for 3 years. After that, I worked in fintech and headed up a division for a fintech company for about 2 years. I moved over to Berkeley to do an MBA. And that was a 2-year degree. And then during that program, I worked at a Bay Area VC called Menlo Ventures in their entrepreneur in residence program. And then after that, I got a job at Binance Labs in their crypto investment team. So that was in their venture capital team, investing in early stage crypto. And that was my first full-time role in crypto, although I was investing since 2017. This was the first time I was actually starting to understand like the fundamentals of the infrastructure, I would say, through investing in these early stage entrepreneurs. And then straight after that, I decided to found 42, which was actually in about 2 years ago, so March 22. And we started building something on Evmos. It was like, yeah, so pretty much it was something very similar to Convex Finance, but on Evmos. And Evmos obviously sort of hits a few roadblocks and during their launch. And then at that point, we realized that we couldn't have single chain reliance. Like, why are we building only on one chain when like the point of Cosmos is to be building across chains? And that's obviously where the world will go. So at that point, we realized we needed to pivot and sort of build an interchain app. And through that process, it was just really like a constant iteration of what we should be building for the interchain. So we started building on one chain, and which was initially Juno, which we started building at a hackathon in Medellin at the Cosmoverse hackathon. And then we started building on Juno, and then we started looking at other chains like Terra and Neutron, and just started really seeing the problems with like cross-chain compatibility. And I mean, we were struggling to identify sort of like how we could build across chains, and then understanding that if it's so hard for teams to build across chains, that means it must be pretty hard for users to be finding what they want across different chains. So yeah, it was kind of an iteration of that, of wanting to build for a cross-chain world, but understanding also from a user perspective how difficult it is for them to interact across all the chains.
I remember seeing you guys at the Istanbul for Cosmoverse, and just like, you know, it was like that Shark Tank thing that y'all did. It was pretty fun, and it was cool to see all the different projects. But definitely, I feel like maybe your experience with looking at different when you were working at Binance Labs kind of helped you, because you definitely had, I think you were the best spoken. You carried yourself really well up there. And so like, to me, like I followed you immediately. I was like, okay, this is this 42 thing. This looks pretty interesting. So you really stood out when you went up there. So, and you ended up winning, correct?
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah, thank you. No, I'm lucky that I have had a fair amount of time presenting. I mean, I guess something else that like I also just like often think about and just like, I guess, have been trained from like when I worked in banking and VC before, I mean, after that, was just really to like think about things fundamentally. So like, what are the core concepts? I mean, I remember one of the main things I always say that I learned in banking was I worked for this one boss who people would come to him with all these crazy ideas about how to structure things. And he would say, whoa, let's slow down and draw this all out. And like really just trying to understand fundamentally what is going on. And then from there, you can actually explain, you can explain any concept pretty well. So I know like at these pitch competitions, people are sort of start explaining in all the fringe details. And I try always just to stick with the fundamentals.
Yeah. I know you mentioned that you initially were building on top of Evmos and then you were looking into Juno. What has been the hardest thing that 42 has had to overcome, in your opinion?
That's a good question. I mean, it was definitely hard in general, just sort of surviving the last 2 years. Obviously, the UX narrative hasn't like really come into play yet. So trying to sort of bring in money and sustain the last 2 years was pretty tough, like trying to sell this idea of the cross-chain UX narrative to investors. But I mean, we managed to do it somehow. But yeah, I always say like we hit along the last 2 years, we had 0 months of runway twice before we raised our round, like a full round. So we almost went out, but not.
Yeah.
And then we managed to raise the full round. So I think just like, I guess taking that on like emotionally or as like a stress thing, that can be quite stressful. But yeah, and keeping the team aligned, like when you know that you may not have salaries for everyone next month, but
yeah.
We managed to pull it off and close from really good investors in the end. So we're happy about that.
That must be so hard whenever, like, just being in a company that's like that, but then you are, you know, the co-founder. And so you have a lot of people that are depending on you. So I can't imagine, you know, the kind of things that you're going through your mind and just the stress levels that you're at. So it's awesome that you guys have been able to persevere through this bear market. So that, you know, kudos to you guys. But yeah, that must be.
Yeah, sure. I mean, something that I always think about is just like, I don't know, pretty much all entrepreneurs say it's super, super hard. So I just like, I'm like, okay, cool. This is super, super hard. So I know I'm doing it right. You know, it's like, I'm not like an outlier. It's like normal.
That's it.
Yeah.
So I know, Daniel, that you mentioned that you were initially trying to build on Evmos. I mentioned that also. And I was going to ask you, are you a fan of other projects in the space? Like, who really sticks out to you? I know that initially, I'm guessing Evmos stood out to you. But I'm sure that that's, you know, changed a little. And who is it for you now?
At the moment, one of the teams that we're like pretty tight with is the Skip team. So we're pretty bullish on them. We build a lot of stuff in conjunction with Skip, which is awesome. They're just like this super hardworking team that like really executes on what they're doing. But that's, I guess, more on the infrastructure side of things. From a like sort of user side, I'm really trying to think about it. I mean, just to clarify your question, does this need to be in the Cosmos space or anywhere?
It could be. Let's do both. Let's do one Cosmos, one anywhere. Let's stand out to you.
I mean, one ecosystem that I'm starting to like just sort of have a bit of fun with is like the Base and Farcaster ecosystem. If you've like explored that at all, I think it's like a super fun. It's just there's a lot of fun projects being built there, and I like, I don't know, I use fun as a sort of a key metric in way to allocate time. Like I think if people are having fun doing what they're doing, then they actually want to do it, and I see a lot of people having a lot of fun on Base. So and I think Farcaster is helping that along. I mean, essentially they've got like a built-in social network, which so pretty much anything that starts taking off takes off on a social network there. And I like some of the concepts around that. Within Cosmos, let me think about that. my co-founder just walked out of the room. And I'd actually like to ask him. Hang on 1 second.
Yeah, no problem.
What's your favorite Cosmos project?
Such a lame question.
At the moment. Robin from, I'm sitting here with Robin from Abstract Protocol, actually. He's also a
Cosmos Robin. Protocol.
I think NIM is really cool.
He thinks NIM is really cool. NIM.
NYM.
Yeah.
Like privacy protocol in the sense that it's like a VPN protocol, but then more like the onion browser, which is like where all the dark web is. So it's really cool.
So it's private.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's Robin's input. If you know Abstract Protocol, that they're also building some really cool stuff. Abstract.money.
We'll have to check them out.
Yeah, there's three of us here actually. So it's myself, my co-founder, and Robin all sitting around here.
All three surfing?
Yep, exactly. I'm at their place right now.
Nice. Yeah. So you mentioned that you're working with Skip. Is there any other protocols that you guys are working closely with?
So we have currently integrated Stride, which is our, like, I guess right now it's our key liquid staking provider, but we have some other integrations coming in soon on the liquid staking side. And then we got like quite a few other infrastructure providers. So we're working with Numia for our data services. We've been working with Abstract quite a lot to essentially deploy cross-chain apps. Think who else? And then, I mean, we've integrated. Oh, we're currently integrating a Nodeless protocol as well as a Ghost on Kujira. And then we're integrated across a lot of the Cosmos validators at the moment. So, and that's sort of in our roadmap for launch, which is essentially providing this earn dashboard, and that initial earn dashboard is going to consist of the validator staking, so staking to any validator. Liquid staking with Stride, and we're also in the process of integrating persistence, lending through Ghost and Nodeless, as well as interchain strategies, which are things like Quasar. And then hopefully on the EVM side, we can bring in Sommelier soon too.
Yeah, sounds like you guys will be the one-stop shop for everything. If you're able to, you know, get all these things going, that'd be pretty easy for anyone to use.
Yeah, that's the plan right now. I mean, I have a question for you, if you don't mind. But what are you excited about in the Cosmos ecosystem? And if we were to bring in Yield from anywhere, where would you say we should integrate?
In the Cosmos ecosystem, I think I'm most excited about. See, I'm biased because like I work for Babylon, so all I'm thinking about is Bitcoin. So I'm excited that. We're about to go into mainnet middle of this year, and so it's actually like I like working at Babylon, but also it's difficult because I feel like I can't experience everything else. Like I feel like I'm inside of an echo chamber, and so like I'm not looking at other ecosystems as closely as I once did. So it's actually hard. Like I don't know how you're able to do it sometimes, you know, but maybe you have to because of what you try to do with 42, but it's really hard to not stay focused on yourself and look out into other ecosystems. Because I remember before, in 2017, 2018, I was looking at everything. I was in so many different ecosystems and, excuse me. And then, ever since, we've been in Cosmos, I do feel like, it's just, it feels good here. I believe in what the overall goal is. But I definitely know that, you know, sometimes good things are happening out there that it's not gonna, you can't put everything onto one ecosystem. Like there's definitely good things happening elsewhere. So like right now, for instance, you were mentioning fun. I think I've been looking at Solana with their meme tokens. I don't know if you've had fun with those. But like it's so like their onboarding must be like so amazing because they're able to get all these users to have fun really into to degen, you know, a little bit. So I would say right now, just because of the fun factor, because of like the craziness going on, maybe Solana would be like another ecosystem that has my attention right now. But yeah, it's in Cosmos. I would say right now it would be Babylon, just because that's what I'm focusing on solely. And then outside, I'd say Solana.
Completely. Yeah, I mean, I think like one of my main roles at 42 is just communicating and trying to gather information and then pass that information to other people. Hence, I ask you, I mean, I know you say to me, like, I don't know how you manage to keep track of everything. But yeah, that's why I'll ask you the question about what you're excited about, because I need to gather information while I'm here. You know?
Yeah, gotcha.
Then I go to my team.
So who do you follow to kind of get this information? I'm sure there's some people you like to follow who you trust what they say. Who do you look to in this space? I know you mentioned Vitalik, so I'm sure he's one of those people that you're always, you know, seeing what he's posting. But yeah, who else is it?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say one of like the people with a lot of alpha in the Cosmos ecosystem is Danny from DeFi Dojo, if you know him. He always kind of knows what's going on. I think if you follow his investment advice, and this is not investment advice, if you follow his investment advice, you're probably in good hands.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so he's got good alpha. Who else? Yeah, I mean, I speak to a lot of people every day. So like I guess take in a lot of different info and then filter through. I mean, on the Ethereum side, although, and I think this, the reason I speak to people on the Ethereum side is because we do need to at 42 start looking at how do we bridge the world of Ethereum and Cosmos and essentially allow money or TVL to flow between the two ecosystems seamlessly. So it is an ecosystem that I have quite a big network in, but I also like I'm trying to keep my ear to the ground on what's going on that side of things too. I've got like a variety of different people who I sort of get information from.
Yeah. So I know you mentioned that you know, the hardships of the past 2 years with 42. What's been the best thing about having 42, and like what's your proudest moment so far with the company?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, one of the best things about it is, I mean, I know we spoke about fun, but it's just how much fun I actually have. I love my team. I think that's definitely one of the things I'm proudest about, is just like how quality my team is. We've got like, I mean, my two co-founders who we've been working together for a year and a half now are just unbelievable, like super great minds and great engineers. And we've recently brought on some amazing hires. So we brought on Nena, who's on the call there. I can see she's listening. Hey,
Is she the 42 profile? I'm guessing she's the 42 profile right now.
She's got a 42 profile, but she's also she's also in the audience personally.
Yes, you're in the audience.
Yeah. So yeah, she's joined recently. That's been great. Then we've got two other engineers, a guy named Chuffy, and then another guy named Sam. And actually, when we went, Sam was on mine and Alessio's hackathon team in Medellin about a year and a half ago. But he only joined the 42 team officially like 2-3 weeks ago. But one of my best moments at 42 was actually with Sam at the hackathon, when Sam like sort of had a spiritual epiphany, and through just coding, and I got to witness it, and actually I video recorded the spiritual epiphany too without him knowing. I did send it to him afterwards. But awesome. That was one of the moments where I was like, damn, this is like totally worth it. It's just like, I don't know, see this stuff happening.
Yeah. So I obviously follow the 42 profile, your ex profile, and I saw that you guys do have a lot of fun. You guys are always posting like some pretty funny content. Like whenever you were mentioning how many Spanish speakers you have on the team, and it's like, it's a big majority of it.
Yeah, completely. Yeah, we want to be fun, you know, and that's the other thing is like, I feel like I want to, like you were saying earlier that I managed to present well in Turkey. I like to just get like kind of just be authentic and put my cards on the table. I don't really hide too much. We try to be real, and we try to like sort of embody that culture in the team to a large degree.
Yeah, that's really important. For instance, I earlier before our call, I had a call with we have a weekly call on Mondays with Babylon, and we're gonna get together soon for our like a meetup, a yearly meetup that the team does. And so our head of community was telling us that there's been some changes, and so the flight, anything over $800, we're gonna have to cover ourselves. And that we weren't gonna no longer have our own rooms. We'd have like 2-3 people to a room, and so everyone was like, "What's going on? April Fool's today!" So they completely like, he had all of us going. We're like, "What's going on?" And so, has your team been safe from April Fool's, or have you got anything planned out for them?
I will plan something out for them now that you mentioned. I think we've all forgotten about that.
Nana, you're the one that knows, so be careful.
Yeah. I don't even want to say the word right now while my founder's in the room.
Oh, that's
so naive. So naive. So
that's awesome. So I really appreciated the walkthrough that you had with us the other day, where you were showing us how you're actually integrating. I don't know if I can say this, the AI aspect to what you're doing. Can I talk about that, or is that secret right now?
You can talk about it, but just as a precursor, it is very early on that front. But sure.
Yeah. Well, I just thought it was like such a great use of it, where you are literally just kind of like just having thoughts, and you're able to make, you know, 42 play them out, or you know, enact them out. And to me, I haven't seen anyone try to do that. So it really stood out to me. And so I just wanted to kind of ask you, how you guys thought about doing that, and how successful it's been with your testing?
Specifically like the natural language side of things?
Yes, yes.
So yeah, I guess how we thought of it was, I guess just looking at the way that I think search is changing, and specifically like, how I use the internet now is so different to just like how it used to be. Essentially, it used to be sort of go on Google, search whatever you're looking for, and you get like 10 blog posts or whatever, and you have to sort of filter through all 10 of those, skim through all the ads, and sort of I guess summarize them all yourself. If you're, I don't know, if you're looking for a recipe, or if you're looking for to plan your day in travel or whatever it is, it's really about like opening up a whole bunch of different blog posts. But now with things like, for example, Perplexity or Arc Search, you ask the same question, but the algorithm goes and summarizes everything for you to your own web page. And I guess that's how we sort of are thinking about that to a large degree, is how can a user just come in and say, I want to do this, and instead of them needing to go and look through all the DeFi protocols themselves, how do we manage to just present them with the right opportunity? Because obviously
it's so much easier, because usually I feel like in the space you have to come up with like a Medium article with screenshots, or you know, kind of showing people, or make a tutorial video to teach people how to do it. So it's a lot of work on your part too. But if you're able to just ask and it tells you immediately, like, that to me is like a game changer. Really, it's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I guess one of the inherent challenges in there, it's like, how do we then show users, like, for example, the top three, and what do we judge the top three lending protocols on, for example, you know, that like, and that's where it actually, I think, becomes more of a challenge. It's like, say there are three lending protocols that are all offering similar yields with similar risks. How do we choose between which one to display to the user? Or do we look at sort of I guess we could ask the user for if they want to have a diversified approach where their assets split up amongst the top 20 or whatever it is. But yeah, that's sort of a challenge with these types of things. Mm-hmm.
No, that makes sense. So where can people go to find out more about 42?
I guess the usual sources, Google, Twitter, the website. they can message me directly.
Do y'all have a Discord or Telegram also?
We do. Right now we're pushing a lot more of our communications out on Twitter. We do have Telegrams. All of the links are findable on our website, which is 42 spelled out fortytwo.money.
That money. So what can people expect next from 42?
Yeah, so we're just gearing up for launch. So we do have our alpha whitelist or our beta whitelist, which is open. So if anyone's interested, they can sign up through our website. We're hoping to launch in the next few weeks. So we're super excited about that. And that will be our first iteration of the product. It's not the final product, but it's a step in the right direction. Step.
That's awesome. Congratulations on that coming up. Looking forward to playing around with it. Like it was pretty cool just messing around with it the other day. So definitely I think there's something cool going on here.
Yeah, I agree. We've gone back to first principles and just looked at how do we make things easy for users. And I think not a lot of people are, weirdly, not a lot of people are doing that in the space.
So if people want to support you, how can they best do that besides just following, you know, your social media profiles? Is there anything else that they can do to best support for?
Yeah, I would say get on the beta version. DM us if you're interested in getting on the beta version and provide us feedback on the product. I'd say that's the most helpful that anyone could be right now. We're just looking for like really listening to users and seeing what it is that they would like to see from us.
Gotcha. And is there anything that we haven't gotten to talk about 42 yet that you're hoping to talk about?
No, I think that's it. I think that's it on our side. I mean, maybe something else is just like if users want to see sort of new integrations or what do users want us to build or who do they want us to integrate, now those sort of recommendations would be amazing.
Awesome. So yeah, everyone, make sure you're following 42 Daniel. He's a funny guy. He'll give you some surfing tips if you follow his Twitter profile. And just thank you, Daniel, for jumping on the space. I know that you guys do spaces all the time. You were in one yesterday, right, with Danny?
Exactly. Yes.
So yeah, that's a lot. So thank you so much for being willing to just do one back to back like that, since you did one yesterday.
No worries. Yeah, and we have our weekly space on Thursdays too, and we'd love to have you guys on ours sometime.
Oh yeah, definitely. We'll see when we can join you guys. What do you guys usually talk about on your spaces?
Kind of anything. So we get guest appearances from people. Usually we give some product updates. Introduce the team, talk about life and the universe and all that stuff, and crypto.
You talk about the answer to the universe?
Exactly.
So you're a big Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy fan?
Yeah, I personally am. Are you?
It's a funny movie. Yeah, I love the movie.
Great. Yeah, well, thanks so much for the chat. It's been a pleasure talking with you guys.
Yeah, thank you, and until next time. So yes, thank you, Marty, for joining us as well.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I know I didn't jump in towards the end there, but I also got my son here because he's off from school as well. So if we ever have spaces again, I'd love to be able to join the conversation more. But yeah, thank you for your time, Daniel. It was really fun to learn more about 42, and I can't wait to test it out myself in the future. Thank you, everyone, also for joining and listening in today. And yeah, you did a great job hosting, Eric. Thank you.
Thanks, Marty. All right, Daniel, again, thank you for joining us. Take care, everyone.
Take care, everybody. Have a great day.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these token knocks. They probing this bear, flexing broken knives. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting knives. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known a politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Click the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lay stacked in non-toxic, just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Eats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Bye.